3 weeks ago. This is our fourth week in the series of hashtag struggles. And the struggles that we have in this life and that we face in this life are real and are genuine. Yet a lot of times that they get manipulated because of the multimedia and the various other means that sway us in a direction contrary to that of which God would enable us to grow and understand Him more. So as we talk about this next part of the series, which is compassion, and we have often lost sight of what compassion really looks like in our generation. And I don't know if you know this, but a number of studies have been done over the years, and there was one particular study that's studied people from the 1970s all the way up to the 2010, 15, you know, all that entire span. And what they discovered is that from the 1980s to now, we are 40% less compassionate than we were back in the 80s. Wow. Oh boy. 40% less. So what brings us to the place where we're less compassionate and we don't care as much for people around us and the situations of people around us and the plight of people that we come in contact with or we don't even come in contact with? Why doesn't it affect us as much? I don't know about you, but back in the 80s, 90s, whenever I saw that clip on TV when the child was starving and there was a famine and the stomach was blown up extra large because of malnutrition, it would really bother me, and flies all over their face. It would bother me a great deal. And as the years have progressed, it didn't bother me as much. And I've wondered why that is the case. And I hope it still bothers us, but for some reason, it didn't bother me as much, and maybe it doesn't bother you as much, and maybe you're wondering the same as I do. Why don't I have as much compassion as I once did for people's plight in this world? And how does technology cause us to care less? Did you know technology does do that very thing? But before we talk any further, let's pray. Lord, enable us to understand you more and what compassion really is. As we talk about compassion today, Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So how does technology cause us to care less? The first thing is we're more obsessed with ourselves. It becomes me-centered rather than God-centered or other-centered, other-focused. We become me and about ourselves. So we're so centered on ourselves that we lose focus on other people. Have you ever found that to be the case in your own life? That you've been so focused on yourself that you can't even think about what's going on in anybody else's life? And yes, that happens to all of us one time or another in our lives. But the problem is that it's happening continuously and consistently with our generation we find ourselves in this right now. Because of technology, it has brought us to a place where we no longer feel for others because it becomes about that selfie that we take. It becomes about what I post, what I say, what they say, yeah, but what I say matters more. And we lose focus on relationship and people and care and compassion. And the second thing is we get overwhelmed. We get overwhelming exposure to suffering, and it desensitizes us. There are people that I know and you know that, and us in general, each individual here likely, we've been so exposed, whether it be through the news or a feed that we have. Did you know if you have a feed on your account and you just see picture after picture and post after post, there's like a recipe for cauliflower here, and then there's the suffering and plight of people that are in Saudi Arabia and people that are in the Sudan And there's that plight of people that are suffering, and then that cauliflower, and then there's somebody making a funny post down here. So we see it, but then we just bypass it. And then it becomes a part of the way we look at our life. Because we can't figure out what's actually meaningful and powerful and have an impact on us, because we've seen so many images and so many thoughts and so many ideas in such a short span of time. So as we scroll through, we keep seeing images and posts and things, and we may read a little bit, but then we scroll on and scroll on and scroll on, and we've just kind of bypassed what is really important. And our compassion begins to decrease because we get desensitized. Now, some of us are desensitized to the movies we watch. And there's all this cursing in this movie, and it doesn't even bother us anymore. Maybe it did bother us a number of years ago, but we've watched this so much that, what's the big deal? And so our compassion is less, because we see things people affected in these movies more and more in horrible ways, and it desensitizes us to the reality of what humanity is actually going through. And can we change every circumstance on this earth right now? No, because people make bad choices, and people don't necessarily care about other people, and they want to dominate other people. But should we? Should we care? Should we have compassion? Yes, absolutely. And what does that look like? Well, it's kind of hard for us to grasp, but we need to really understand what compassion looks like. But there's one more thing I want to share about how technology has enabled us to care less, and that is the lack of personal interaction makes it easy not to care. Do you know what I mean when I say that? It is so easy to stay in your house all day and not talk to anybody. We can even have groceries delivered to us now. We don't have to interact with anyone if we don't want to. Maybe that person that drops the groceries off, thank you, and then take them. And we don't have to concern ourselves with talking to another human pretty much as long as we live. We can even work from home. We can work from home. We can order food, supplies, everything from our house and have them delivered to our home. And maybe one of the only people we may meet is the FedEx person. And we may not even know them by name. So it is easy to have a lack of compassion. And it is easy to be obsessed with ourselves. And it's easy to be desensitized, because we have so much at our disposal from that computer, from that television. And we can be all alone if we choose to be. But does compassion count? And I would say absolutely, compassion counts in profound ways. And true compassion demands action. Did you hear that? True compassion demands action. So if you are somebody that talks about compassion but doesn't act on it, talks about, oh, that person's really wrestling through a lot of stuff, but it's easier just to write, praying for you, send him a little email out, or put a little post on the wall on the Facebook, or send a little nice picture on a Twitter or whatever it may be. Well, what happens is there's no real action that takes place. But true compassion takes action. It takes us stepping out of our comfort zone and loving people where they are and helping them through a tough time or whatever it may be. If God lays something on our heart, we need to follow through with it. And it may be difficult, and it may be challenging, and it may be rough. But we need to follow through, and we need to act. It's not just about speaking words. It's about acting. It's about speaking and acting. I talked, I think, last week or the week prior about how a lot of people say, well, I live my faith out before others, and I show the actions of Christ so people would know him. And I shared that that's not enough. We need to put action with words. And the same thing is true with this progression of compassion in our lives. We need to put our words and our actions together and move forward in a progressive way that is going to allow us to show people that we truly do care. And it's not just lip service. Because if I'm just speaking and not acting, what's the point of that? If I'm just writing and typing and nothing else, what's the point of that? There's really no point. We were down in Atlanta. It was Chuck, myself, and Michael. And there was a lady that was holding a sign. And it says something like, "We need food." And she had her little child with her. So we brought her in, and it was a supermarket, and brought her in. She got a bunch of food and toothbrushes and everything else, and paid for her to get all that food and things. And sometimes when we do that, when we step out and are led by the Spirit, but then we do it, sometimes we're like, "Oh, why did I do that?" Or, "Oh, I should have done that," or, "I should have done this instead." But the whole thing is this: we just need to step out and do it. And it can be hard, and it can be, there's a lot of different things that can happen when we do step out like that. And we can open ourselves up to things that we weren't necessarily ready for or expected. There's this Greek word that the word for compassion in Greek is splanka nid zombe ahi. Yeah, you ready for that? Splanka, I know you can't. Splanka nid zom ahi. That's how you say it. And it means to have the bowels yearn. And you may go, "What?" It actually means that. It means there's this deep sense of, from deep within us, this yearning. And it's a feel deep sympathy toward. So this feeling of deep sympathy, to be moved to action. So have the bowel, a deep sense of the bowel's yearning, and this deep sense of sympathy, and to be moved by action means if we sense this deep yearning, then we need to follow through, and we need to do what God is calling us to do. To say you care but not act is not to care at all. So to say you care, and you may want to write that down. To say you care but not act is not to care at all. I can say I care about you all I want, but if I don't follow it through with action, you don't know that I really care, do you? "Hey, I really care about you. I really care, but..." Yeah. Because when we truly care about somebody, we're going to step out and we're going to act, and we're going to show them we care by the way we act toward them and the way we do things in their life. There's some scriptures, and they're going to be on the screen here. And the first one comes from Mark chapter 1, 40 through 41. And what is interesting about Jesus is whenever he was moved with compassion, every single time in the scriptures when Jesus was moved with compassion, guess what he did? He acted. There was no time in the scripture where it says that he was moved with compassion and didn't act. Just as we, if we are truly moved with compassion, we should follow it up with action. So this particular verse: a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. You may not know anything at all about leprosy, but leprosy was any skin ailment or disease, and the actual leprosy was when people had such bad skin irritation that they would lose feeling in their joints and their fingers and their toes and all over their body. So much so that they had no more feeling. So there's actually modern day cases in India where there are leper colonies, and this is going to sound gross, But there was a gentleman that stepped in and was a missionary in a leper colony, and he wrote documentation. He wrote story after story that documented what happened to some of the lepers in the leper colony. And one of the cases that he wrote about was, it talked about how there were some rats that came at night, and one of the men was laying there, and the rat came and was eating his toes right off his feet, and he woke up in the morning and his toes were gone. And this is real. Leprosy was real. And in this culture, leprosy, a leper would have to stay away from the city. They would have to, most of them stayed in caves, and they would be away from community. They couldn't make any money. They couldn't support their family or friends. So if they had leprosy, it was a huge dilemma. Not only that, if there was someone coming within 100 feet of you as a leper, you had to scream out, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" Imagine, not only did you have to scream unclean, but you knew you're unclean, and you're screaming unclean, unclean, so people would stay away from you. And that's what it was like to live with leprosy, and you didn't know what joint or what part of you may potentially fall off. How scary would that be? Let's say you're a mother and you have leprosy. You have to go and live in caves, and your kids and your husband and everybody else is back in the city, but you're on the outskirts. You can't go near anybody else, and you have to live among the other lepers. It was a tragic state. That's why this is such a significant verse, because Jesus gets, a leper comes up, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. People with leprosy wouldn't do that, but this leper happened to do that. And why did he do it? Begging to be healed. See, this leper must have heard of what Jesus was doing all over the place. Wherever he walked, wherever he was, wherever he spoke, people were being healed. People that were blind from birth were healed. People that had leprosy were healed. Have you ever been around a place in which you wanted to stay, you wanted to be, and a person that you just wanted to be around because they were so interesting? They were so loving, so compassionate. Jesus is that someone. The leper says to him, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." He said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be healed." Did you hear that? Jesus reached out and touched him. Did you know if you touched a leper, you're ceremonially unclean? You could not go worship in the temple. You could not go worship anywhere. You had to stay away from other people in fear that you may contract leprosy. This was a big deal. He healed them. He not only healed them, he could have healed them from 100 feet away. Would you agree? He could have saw, "Wait, you stay back there. You're healed now. All right. Yeah, go see the priests." Right? No. He reaches out his hand and touches the leper. Because who knows how long this leper may have been without human touch. Can you imagine being without human touch for a year of your life? No real interaction, no touch from anybody for fear that you may be, that you are unclean. This was a tragedy when someone contracted leprosy on so many different levels. But Jesus touched him and said, "Be healed." That is just an amazing example of compassion. Would you agree? Well, we move on and we discover in the book of Matthew. So we flip back to Matthew, and when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus was in boats at times. He would walk to places, but he landed on the boat. He came upon all these people surrounding him, and he had compassion on them. And what did he do? He healed their sick. He didn't just say, "Oh, I feel bad for you, man. I feel bad for you too. Oh, sorry about that, little kid." But what did he do? He stepped up and he healed their sick. He acted. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't say, "Oh, I feel bad for them." He acted. You may say, "But I'm not a doctor. I can't heal somebody. I don't know what to do." Well, we can all minister to people in different ways. God can enable us to minister in some profound ways to people that are in great need. And it's that action that goes along with it. Not just saying we have compassion, but actually living it out and acting it out in our day-to-day life. We should ask ourselves, when was the last time that we truly displayed compassion to another human? When was the last time we loved somebody that maybe nobody else loved? That we grabbed someone's hand or put our arm around somebody that maybe nobody else wanted to touch? In Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. So Matthew 20:23, immediately they received their sight and followed him. What if you were blind? Let's just say no one has invented glasses yet. How many of you could see clearly? Some of us would say, I probably couldn't see too clearly. Maybe I could see clearly, but those glasses sure do help. Well, imagine being completely blind and not being able to see anything, and then Jesus comes along and touches you, and your eyes are healed. He says you are healed. His action is truly lived out. That compassion is lived out by his action. What a great example of what it means to be compassionate. When we actually live out our faith and live out what we say we believe, but we live it out in such a way that there's no doubt that this compassion is coming from a God that loves us. So this powerful compassion is now lived out in us because Christ is upon us. There's three things that compassion does, though, and they're uncomfortable things. The first thing that compassion does is it interrupts. It interrupts our day-to-day flow of things that we want to do, places we want to go, things we want to see. And if we're truly compassionate, a lot of times when we're compassionate, it disrupts our day. And it also costs. It may cost money. It may cost time. It may cost energy. And the third thing that it does is it changes lives. So true compassion changes our lives, but it also changes the lives of those that we have compassion for. We live in a world that has neglected so many people, so many things, that lack of compassion is a norm. And even trying to live out compassion can be incredibly difficult because we are so consumed by all the stuff we're dealing with. And it can easily manipulate us into thinking that we have too much stuff in our own lives to have compassion on other people. And we may justify our lack of compassion because we've lived a life that hasn't been shown much compassion. Or we may say that, right? There was a friend that She's from Africa. And I don't think anybody in here can relate to what I'm about to share. She lost her husband and 3 of her kids due to infections and disease spread. And she shares her story, and you can still sense the power of God in her life and the joy of the Lord in her life. All of us go through struggles and pain. But coming alongside her and listening to her story enables me to reflect on my life and how, you know, she is able to be compassionate in the midst of all the stuff that has gone on in her life. In a war-torn land where family members are stolen, shot, we don't need to deal with that. Some of us may have had that happen in our life, something similar, but I don't think to that extreme. No matter where we are, no matter where we've come from, we can still display a compassion, a supernatural compassion, even if we feel as though our life has, it's been too much for us to bear. Maybe you feel that way right now. Maybe you have felt that way in the past. But God is a compassionate God. This Jesus that we claim to serve, when he walked among humans, whenever he sensed a compassion for something, he immediately acted and displayed his love and his compassion by doing what he could do in that sense situation, despite all the surrounding circumstances, despite the interruptions. Don't you think that those times when people just come to him, oh, can't you heal me? Don't you think that's an interruption to the flow of his day-to-day life? When thousands of people would crowd around him and try to just touch him so they could be healed. There are a lot of selfish people, right? They wanted him for what he could give them. And one of my concerns for us is we want Jesus for what he can give us. And if we don't feel like he's giving us what we deserve, then we may walk away. You see, it's not what we deserve, because what we deserve is eternal death. But Christ has suffered and died and rose again, so we get what we don't deserve. Wow, I didn't get an amen to that. But he has died and rose again, so we get what we don't deserve. And because we get what we don't deserve, that in and of itself should enable us to display compassion. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He knew if they saw, they could do things differently in their life. And he had compassion and touched their eyes. He knew the leper had a lot of grief and pain and hurt and hadn't been touched in a long time. And he reached out his hand and touched them. He knew that the man that had a shriveled limb, when he reached out, when he said, you are healed, extend your hand, and you are healed. And boom, his hand was there. He knew the effect that would have on their life. And there were interruptions, and there were costs, and there were changed lives. You see, because Jesus had compassion on us, he had to suffer the ultimate cost of his life. And due to that, lives have been changed in radical ways. Do you live a changed life? Do you live a transformed life in Christ? And if you do, it is essential that you display compassion, not just with words, but with actions. And we need to ask ourselves every day, Lord, provide me an opportunity to display compassion to somebody. And if you're sitting there going, when was the last time I really was compassionate? And then you're trying to think of something and manipulate something into, yeah, that was an act of compassion. You better do a reality check. I think a lot of us, and maybe even all of us, really need to do that reality check. May we truly display beautiful compassion to this world. Amen. Father, as we get ready to sing some songs, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our heart and our mind. Father, I ask that you would allow our compassion to truly be displayed. And may our love be poured out to this world that so many don't know you. God, allow our compassion by our words, by our actions, speak volumes about what you've done in our lives and what you can do in others. In the name of Jesus, amen.